Donkey riding, branches waving, children praising, officials debating, temple clearing, parable speaking, feet washing, meal preparing, supper sharing, bread breaking, wine drinking, betrayal leaving, disciples walking, Jesus praying, guards arresting, priests accusing, Pilate questioning, crowds condemning, disciples fleeing, soldiers mocking, Jesus stumbling, hanging, suffering, dying, gone.
Let us pray. Lord God, may the words that flow from my mouth be inspired by your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Message today isn't as long as it would normally be on a Sunday morning, I promise. But if any of the kids prefer not to listen to my sermon, we have kids packs at the back of the church. Just see Anne and she'll hook you up with a kids pack. Any adults who prefer not to listen to my sermon as well. But trust me, it's only short. It's a wafer thin. What does Good Friday mean to you? And how does it make you feel? The fact that you are here this morning would suggest that it does mean something to you or somebody who's close to you. We've reached the end of that time in the history of the Western world where going to church on Good Friday was just the thing that you did. Instead, cars are packed to go camping and the M1's been bumper to bumper. The airports are bustling with people travelling away for the Easter holidays. For those who are staying home, there's a selection of footy games to look forward to this afternoon. Or you could try and spend some time lining up for some fresh seafood. Or trying to find somewhere that's open because you forgot that the shops are closed today. Sorry to tell you if you've forgotten that. We've been able to enjoy hot cross buns since the Boxing Day sales. So the days when my parents would build up the suspense for that first taste of a hot cross bun when we got home from church on Good Friday seems like a distant memory. For those for whom Easter is still somewhat of a religious significance, you have your choice of a whole range of services that you could go to over this weekend. And fewer people are taking up the invitation that I and other church leaders give to do Holy Week hardcore and come to as many services as you possibly can. And if you were only going to go to one service this Easter, you'd probably choose the one that's fun and happy on Easter Day, right? And you get free Easter eggs on Easter Day as well. Just an encouragement if you want to come back on Easter Day, there's free Easter eggs. But I wonder, can the Easter holidays still be Easter holy days? Churches around the world and around the Gold Coast are still opening their doors, inviting their people, welcoming visitors and welcoming strangers to come and see. Things have changed, but the church is changing as well. My parents, who grew up doing Holy Week the proper way, are joining us online this morning. Instead of insisting that my sister and I wait till we got home to have our first hot cross buns, churches like ours had hot cross buns this week for morning tea on Tuesday and Thursday. And many churches are trying something a little bit different each year to see if we can capture the imagination of our culture. Because the church believes that Easter matters, and particularly on this day we say that Good Friday matters. Church leaders continue to implore their members to go to the full range of services over this week so that you can experience the journey. It's not about boosting our numbers so that the stats look good. It's not about building our egos. My family will tell you that my ego is big enough without this weekend. In fact, when I consider this weekend, that's actually one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about Good Friday. For me, Good Friday is about emptying my ego. My prayer and my longing for you this morning is the same prayer and longing I have for myself. That as we reflect on the foot of the cross with a group of people who have been moved enough to make their way here or to join us online, that we might find who we truly are. We think that we know who we are, but most of the time, do we really? I'm not sure I find myself when I look at myself. I'm not sure I find myself when I listen to the voices of expectation that surround me. But I am sure that I find myself when I'm confronted by the crucifixion and death of Jesus. I wonder, even though today means enough for us to be here, whether it could actually mean more. I wonder whether, even though Good Friday has made us feel something, whether it could actually make us feel more or feel again. It's so easy to become desensitized in the world that we're currently living in. Every day we hear about another tragedy, another conflict, another problem, another scandal. Our children are growing up with this type of world around them. Somebody dying is not as newsworthy as we might have thought, let alone someone who died 2,000 years ago. Even as a follower of Jesus, we can become desensitized to this story. We know how it ends. Come back on Sunday for the fairy tale happy ending. But we're supposed to believe that this is not a fairy tale. In fact, followers of Jesus believe that this is actually the most real thing that could possibly happen. In John's accounts of the arrest, crucifixion of Jesus, we see the disciple Peter, the man who Jesus chose to be the cornerstone, the bedrock, the builder of the church. On this rock, he says to Peter, I will build my church. But as Jesus is arrested, we see him wrestling with his identity as a disciple of Jesus. You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? Peter said, I am not. You are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. Did I not see you in the garden with him? Again, Peter denied it. One of the things that I'm personally moved by this year is as I look at Peter's wrestling with his identity, I can enter in, see, and experience my own wrestling with identity. Other than when I'm on holidays, I come to every single church service that this church puts on. But is that supposed to make me feel important or good or worthy? As I come to the foot of the cross to reflect on the crucifixion and the death of Jesus, I still ask myself, how do I deny my identity as a disciple of Jesus? How do I deny Jesus? With my words or with my actions? Or with my inaction or my lack of words? This day can break the heart of the most devout and the first-time hearer alike. But does it break my heart this year? And in the answer to that question, we start to see who we actually are. In the answer to this question comes a flood of other questions about our identity. Do I need Jesus? And do I live like I need Jesus? As we reflect and as we linger and as we pray and as we continue to be confronted, we will also find a sense of overwhelming peace that comes with Jesus' last words. John records that his last words were, "It is finished." What is finished? His work, so that we might have life. We actually don't need to wait until Sunday. I'd love you to come back on Sunday, don't get me wrong, but resurrection has already started. New life began at the cross. There is so much more going on in this story than we could ever realize. There is always more to be revealed. There's more to encounter and more to experience. I could have spent my time this morning giving you an academic, rigorously theological, doctrinally sound explanation that clarifies and proves categorically the case for Jesus' crucifixion and death. But in my heart, I just want it to mean something for you. And I just want you to feel something when you encounter the cross. And in my heart, I just want it to mean something for me. And I just want to feel something when I encounter the cross. So these floods of questions come at me. What does the cross mean for me? What does it make me feel? How am I feeling at this moment? What has Jesus done for me? What has Jesus done for the people that I love? A world full of people that I'll never meet. The generations that have gone before and the generations that will come after. I don't need to explain it. And neither do you. We just need to live it. And that's what it means to be a witness. Whether it be the realization of the denial of Peter, the grief that we see in the women around the foot of the cross, the impact of the guard and the thieves beside Jesus, or the noise of the crowd that really just don't get what's going on. something is there to grab our hearts and move us each and every time. So what do you experience today? And how will you live out this encounter? What will be our witness this Good Friday? Jesus reveals this day who we are, who we truly are. My prayer is that we might respond and live as if we have felt something and it means something. Amen.